This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Sharit Abdullah. Now, in other news, it is 7:08 in the morning and it's the business end of The Morning Run. So let's take a look at US markets. Now, they closed higher yesterday with the Dow gaining for the sixth session in a row as investors continue to snap up global equities after the US dropped plans to impose tariffs on Mexico.
And Asia had a really good day because investors appeared encouraged by the G20 financial officials on Sunday to protect a global trade. Japan was up 1.2%. Shanghai was up just a touch under 1%. Hong Kong was up 2.3% in spite of the demonstrations going on there in Korea, up 1.3%. And our very own local FBM KLCI closed up 0.4%.
Looking good indeed. Now moving on to international headline. U.S. President Donald Trump threatened to raise tariffs on China. Again, if President Xi Jinping doesn't meet with him at the upcoming Group of 20 summit in Japan. So Trump told reporters at the White House yesterday that he could impose tariff of 25% or much higher than 25%. On the existing $300 billion in Chinese goods.
It really seems like Trump is embracing the idea of tariffs as a weapon to essentially get people to do his bidding in the international
arena. Yeah, and he's also embracing the fact that he thinks that Xi Jinping is his best friend. You know, you got to meet up with me.
I don't think saying that you have to meet up with me necessarily implies that someone is your best friend, Julian.
But you know, it seems to work at least for Mexico. I mean, you know, whatever that he's asking for Mexico, Mexico is sending troops over to the borders to get it. You know, to have it more, you know, to stop from illegal immigration from happening.
Yeah, but that's the worrying part, isn't it? Because the problem is it's effective. So there's basically there's nothing to stop him from continuing to use trade as a weapon in negotiations going forward.
But I think that it also runs the danger of just pandering to Trump's whims, right? Because the policies behind this, there are decades and decades of policy on trade and globalization that took many, many rounds of negotiations to conclude. And now this is being dialed back, which is why the world is uncomfortable about this kind of tweeted policy.
Yeah, so at G20, I don't know if he's getting the hint from everybody else. Everybody is highlighting that this whole trade tariff issue is going to be the main emphasis, besides currency, also climate change. So again, yeah, despite, don't know if he's getting that hint.
Now, across the pond, the UK and South Korea have signed an outline free trade agreement that seeks to maintain existing trade agreements post-Brexit. The preliminary agreement marks the first post-Brexit trade deal the UK has secured in Asia and is roughly in line with the terms of the existing Korea-EU FTA. Now, the deal is going to cover South Korean exports, including cars and auto parts. South Korea's exports mostly cars and ships to Britain, while it imports crude oil, cars and whiskey. Now, in other news, United Technologies Corp has agreed to take over Raytheon in an exchange for shares in United. The new entity will become the second largest aerospace and defense company after Boeing, with $74 billion US dollars in sales.
For the defense and aviation industry, this is the largest deal ever, and it's going to be valued just a touch over $120 billion US dollars. Reports suggest that the acquisition may not face regulatory hurdles in the US, as its core defense business do not overlap in serving the key client, which is the US government.
So, I mean, this deal is expected to close perhaps in the first half of 2020 after, you know, United Technology completes the separation of its Otis Elevator as well as carrier air conditioner businesses. You know, just looking at United Technologies, it makes both commercial and military engines, while Raytheon is focused mostly on defense. Defense sector is likely to be reshaped as a merger of the two groups will consolidate United Technologies' aero engine maker Pratt & Whitney, as well as Raytheon's Tomahawk, as well as Patriot missile under one company.
Now, although the acquisition is billed as a merger of equals, current United Technologies shareholders will own most of the combined company, and it's going to be well worth over $100 billion. But both United Technologies and Raytheon's shareholders stand to benefit because of the potential synergies, which could free up capital that may be deployed. So United Technologies will not be paying a premium for Raytheon, taking into account the separation of the Otis and carrier businesses.
Yep, there are concerns that U.S. President Donald Trump, that the merger could harm competition and make it difficult for the U.S. government to negotiate defense contracts. United as well as Raytheon do have some common customers. However, they argue that the business overlap is limited.
Yeah, so if we look at the composition, how this structure is going to shape up, shareholders of the United Technology, they'll be owning about 57% of the new firm on a fully diluted basis. And Raytheon, they will own about 43%. So looking at the future of the aerospace and defense, they say that this merger will define the future of aerospace and defense.
And it's quite interesting because, I mean, the combined group now between United and Raytheon, they may now have the confidence to push back on big customers like Boeing, Airbus and Lockheed Martin in terms of pricing, aftermarket work, and as well as intellectual property. Like, for example, I mean, last year in June, Boeing 737 formed a joint venture with French engine manufacturer Safran to make auxiliary units for planes. And Safran actually competes directly with United Technologies' Pratt and Whitney unit, as well as with Honeywell. And Boeing has expressed some concerns when United Technology acquired Rockwell Collins last year. That's an avionic and aircraft seat maker. So essentially what's going to happen is that this new deal between United and Raytheon is going to put pressure on other companies in the sector, such as Honeywell International as well as General Electric, both of which make jet engines and other plane parts.
I think this is such huge business, defense spending in the United States and around the world, because if you look at the US, they spent about $650 billion last year in 2018, $650 billion on defense. That's a lot of business to go around among all the vendors over there. That's 3.2% of GDP. And China, the U.S. rival right now in trade, spends about 2%. That equals to about $250 billion. And back home here in Malaysia, we spend a very small sum, $3.5 billion, very small by comparison. That's only 1% of our GDP. Are we a peaceful and pacific country?
I mean, we are a much smaller country compared to the US in terms of landmass as well as population. But did you know that the US actually outspends, I think, the next... So in terms of the countries that spend the most on military expenditure, the US actually outspends the next five countries on the list combined in terms of how much they put into military expenditure. I think second behind them is China, that spends about $250 billion US dollars on their military. Now, we'll be back with more news for you after this, so be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.